Jerry Bader Show, 1049. Again, if you're just joining us, it's been an all Mellencamp morning. Just, I know I'm not going to take him off. He's not going to hear about it. That's fine. But John Mellencamp doesn't like that Governor Scott Walker uses his music at campaign events, so we're using it all show long. Because for sure that would drive him crazy. I know, it's a futile gesture. It still makes me feel good. All right, this is the latest from Ukraine, which if you listen to the show, you know I'm just stunned that more of America doesn't understand what a big deal this is. Russian President Vladimir Putin reportedly stressed his right to send Russian troops into eastern Ukraine, but rejected claims that Russian special forces are fomenting unrest in the region. Of course, the West believes that it is Russian special forces that are doing the protests, the pro-Russian protests, as a precursor, a prelude to an excuse for further incursions into Ukraine, which I still believe he's going to do. According to the New York Times, Putin emphasized that Russian parliament's upper chamber had authorized him to use military force if necessary and stressed Russia's historical claim to the territory, repeatedly referring to it as New Russia. Putin recognized for the first time that the troops in unmarked uniforms who had overtaken Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula before its annexation by Moscow were Russian soldiers. Putin's comments Thursday came as Ukraine's Interior Minister Arsen Avakov said 3 pro-Russian protesters were killed, 13 more wounded, 63 were arrested in a confrontation at a military base in the east of the country. Earlier, the Wall Street Journal reported that a group of insurgents had stormed the base late Wednesday as Ukraine's military drive to regain control of the country's east from separatists was stymied by civilians who halted army columns in their tracks and militants who hijacked Ukrainian military vehicles and drove them around with Russian flags. Again, the allegation and belief is those are Russian operative forces doing that. Through all of this, the United States has not led. And the president yesterday addressed nobody wants war. Do you have that soundbite, Jason? And then, as soon as Jason gets to it, and then he said this. Go ahead.
They're not interested in any kind of military confrontation with us, understanding that our conventional forces are significantly superior to the Russians.
So they're not interested in a military conflict with us. They don't fear a military conflict with us. They have no concern about that. And by the way, I don't even know if I necessarily believe him when he says that. We did a piece earlier this week on how Russia has spent a lot more in resources than the West. And Russia notices that he wants to peel back our military levels to the lowest it would be in some 70 years. He still doesn't want to see this through a Cold War prism. Dan Henninger addresses this in his piece today in the Wall Street Journal. I want to read just a little bit of this. Now the battle for Ukraine is ending without much more than a yawn in Washington, London, Paris, and most ironic of all, the Berlin that the Cold War divided in two. In 1947, President Harry Truman, a Democrat, began a year-long Allied airlift to supply Soviet-occupied and isolated Berlin. The Berlin airlift broke the blockade. Nobody running the West would do that now. Let me read that again. Nobody running the West would do that now. Not Western Europe, not President Obama, not anybody would do that now. And Henninger's argument is we haven't lost Ukraine. We gave it away. And he believes it is ultimately going to be all of Ukraine. Earlier this month, Poland's Prime Minister Donald Tusk, Henninger writes, said if there is a thing such as NATO's border that needs diligence, it would be Poland's eastern border. He knows that pressure from his neighbor in the east will come after Ukraine. What remains of NATO now is a good question. Mr. Putin gave his answer in Ukraine. The post-Cold War West stands unled by the American president. Vladimir Putin famously believes the U.S. and Western Europe in 2014 are filled with self-indulgent populations who can barely lift their eyes from an iPhone screen to see a European nation swallowed. Yes, it does look like Cold War 2.0, the video game. Here's the problem. And Henninger points this out earlier in his piece. The Cold War is a historical artifact to pretty much anyone under 30. If you're 24, it ended when you were born. If you're 30, you were 6. I mean, to really remember the Cold War, let's say you have to go back to 1985. 86, whatever year Mr. Gorbachev teared down that wall. 85, 6, or 7, I don't remember now. It's 86 or 87, I think. Okay. To remember that, let's say you're in high school and you're engaged in politics. Let's say you were 15. Okay, that's 27 years ago. You have to be in your 40s. Jason, it's even a reach for you. To really remember the Cold War, would you about graduate from high school when it ended? Something like that? What year did you graduate from high school? No, you were like a freshman in high school when it ended. Yeah. So you're just about it. You're a perfect example of this. That's because you're approaching 40, by the way. Just throw that. You do it to me all the time. This reminds me of an episode of The Americans that I watched last night. And by the way, I'm going to give some spoilers here. So if you're watching The Americans, you're going to have to miss the last 5 minutes of the show because you're not going to want to hear this. All right, here comes the 10 count. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Last night's episode really illustrates what the Soviet mindset was. Philip and Elizabeth are Soviet agents living as husband and wife with kids in Washington. Philip is attracted by capitalism. In last night's episode, he went and bought a Camaro Z28. It was a Camaro, right? Yeah, Camaro. I'm pretty sure it's a Z28. And his wife, well, what do we need that? He goes, you're going to tell me you don't like this stuff? This is always their ongoing. He goes, you don't like living comfortably this way? She goes, it's nice. It's not better. Well, that was kind of the argument. But further, here's what was really interesting. This season is all about how much they hate President Reagan and what a monster they think Reagan is. In an earlier episode, they stole the plans for our silent running submarine technology. As it turns out, we knew they were after those plans. They were planted, and when the Soviets used it, the prop tore into the sub and sunk a sub with 160 men on board. They consider Reagan a monster. How can he do this? Reagan's giving a speech and they're watching it on TV. Like, how can he do this? 160 of our boys dead. Yes, because you wanted our technology to be able to sink our subs. Now, I don't know if that ever happened, but I remember reading where Reagan did implement a program where we did give them faulty technology on purpose. I know it resulted in an explosion of a pipeline or something. I don't remember the details right now. But yeah, he did engage in that type of program. I don't know if the submarine story is true. It wasn't a completely cold war. It ran a little warm, lukewarm to hot at times, particularly, obviously, in peripheral countries. Nobody remembers it. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. A decreasing number of people remember what the Cold War was and what the goal of the Soviet Union was. Expansionism. Putin is of that era and of that mindset. There are just no adults in the room, and I'm not even just talking the United States. Western Europe as well. Yes, they are fixated with their cushy lives. 10:58. 8 minutes to Rush. Have a lovely one, won't you?
The Jerry Bader Show.